Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Lee and Haley Overtime Podcast, brought to you by Shun Lee Chinese Cuisine in downtown Lexington. It is fantastic. If you haven't had it yet, you call these guys, make a reservation, 859-309-0305. Go visit them at, I believe, 111 Woodland Avenue, right on the corner of Main and Woodland.
Yes, downtown Lex.
That's fantastic. There was Arkansas's head coach was having dinner there last night, I was told.
Oh my gosh, who, what? Arkansas's head coach?
Their brand new head coach was eating there last night.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, wow. I didn't know if we'd touch on that because not a lot of people are talking about it.
No.
So I didn't know if we'd talk about it today. Yeah, wow. Wow, weird to see him in red, guys. John Calipari left Kentucky, now the official head coach for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Wow. That's about all I know about the state of Arkansas, is that John and Ellen now will be living there. That's all I know.
Well, it's the home of Tyson Foods.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We know that. And why do we know that? Would you have known that before this week?
I don't know if I would.
I don't think so.
I think Jerry Jones has a bit of that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's true.
He's an Arkansas Razorback.
Yeah.
The owner of the Dallas Cowboys. There's a lot of money down there.
Also, the Walmart?
The Walmart people.
The Walton
although
family?
I saw where, oh my gosh, the NIL deals they'll get from Walmart. But then a lot of people that seem to have a little more knowledge goes, Walmart only gives academic scholarship money. They do not do anything for athletics. So just because the money's there doesn't mean you're going to get it.
Yeah. Okay. Lee Cruz, let's learn about the well, this will be the first question. What is the nickname of the state of Arkansas? And all of this information is from NationalGeographic.com. Actually, NationalGeographicKids.com. So these are things like that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? These kids would know. Anyway, Lee, what is the nickname of Arkansas? It is the blank state.
The Ozark?
The natural state.
Wow. A lot of nudity over there.
Uh-huh. In what year did it become a state?
1836.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Well,
why didn't you give me a shot at
it? I don't know. I
was going to say 18-something.
18-something would not have been the answer. Fine.
What about Kentucky?
I don't know. I'm strictly...
1792, I believe.
Wow. I don't know. I don't have that page.
92, 94, something.
And which... In order of statehood, mm-hmm. You know, we have 50 states.
Yeah.
In which... I don't even know how to ask this.
You know what
question.
Kentucky is? What? The 15th.
The 15th. Okay, so.
Maine beat us.
Oh, those guys.
You had your original 13 colonies, then Maine, then Kentucky.
Yes. Okay, so what about Arkansas?
You know, it's probably not that far off.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Who came in after? What's Tennessee, like the 16th?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Give me a minute. Will you let me work the problem?
Sure, go ahead. Sorry.
Tennessee's the 16th. Mm-hmm. Ohio maybe the 17th. I'll say the 20th.
25th.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty good. What is the capital?
Is it Little Rock?
It is Little Rock. And Lee, what is the largest city?
Is it Little Rock?
It is Little Rock, Lee Cruz. What is the abbreviation for the state?
ARK? AK?
I appreciate your first guess, as if any state has three letters. It's AR. What is the state?
I said AR.
I know, but you said ARK.
No, my last answer was AR.
I know, Lee, but okay, good. State bird.
Bill Clinton.
And he flew away in search of pretty women. State bird is
looking
the...
for birds.
Yeah, mockingbird. Mockingbird.
The state bird is, don't tell me, a crow.
Leah, I just said it was a mockingbird.
Oh.
I literally just said the state bird is a mockingbird. You said, don't tell me it's a crow.
I thought you were making a joke about Bill Clinton.
Oh, that old mockingbird. Yeah. And then lastly, Lee, what is the state flower of Arkansas?
Well, it's not goldenrod, is it?
No.
Again, another Bill Clinton reference.
Yeah, wow.
Is it the azalea?
No.
Don't tell me.
Okay,
is it something I know of? Honeysuckle. Is it something I've heard of? Marigold. Is it something I've heard of?
You've yelled at me for speaking, so forgive me for pausing. It's two words. It's a blank blank.
It's a blank blank.
It's a blank blank.
A poppy seed.
That is one word.
But it is?
Yes, but it starts with a fruit. The first word is the name of a fruit.
Hmm. Gin Blossom.
Blossom is the second word.
Oh, Orange Blossom. No. Apple Blossom.
Bingo. There she
the
was.
Old Apple Blossom the is old the apple official blossom. Flower of Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Now, what if you're just Kansas? You ever think of that? I do. Because all Kansas is a lonely word without the R in front of it.
I know.
You ever think of that?
Yes. I want to say Arkansas.
Keeps me up at night.
It keeps people around the world up at night because there's a lot of things we do here in America that don't make a lot of sense. Mm. Now, anyway, as a lifelong Kentucky fan, and you witnessed all 15 years of John Calipari's career as the head coach of the men's basketball team at the University of Kentucky, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah? How did you react to the video he posted?
Well, I was sad for
it
him.
It is sad.
I've had, I don't know, half dozen interactions with John Calipari, and he's always been the consummate professional and gentleman.
Yes.
You know, I've got to spend a little time with him, and he's super nice and a good guy. And you think about all the money that he's raised for charitable organizations, how he's gone above and beyond to be philanthropic, mm-hmm. to help. Mm-hmm. Not just
use his name for good.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, when we had those storms that moved through Western Kentucky, you know, how he would call to action or the flooding in Eastern Kentucky, mm-hmm. that guy was on point, mm-hmm. doing all those wonderful things for us.
Yeah.
I really am fond of him.
Me too. You know,
that being said, his job is to win championships.
Yes.
That's the gig when you come to Kentucky.
Yeah. And he did that.
He did that.
He did win one. He won.
He did, and then the game changed a little bit, and he still was trying to force his old model of grabbing young NBA future talent. But now the game's changed with COVID and all the rule changes, and now you got graduate players, graduate students. You got old guys with receding hairlines knocking down threes.
Yeah.
And these young men that are 8 months out of high school are having to be put in an environment where they're not seasoned. And I don't know how much coaching you can give, no matter how talented they are, if a better coach team that understands teamwork and synchronicity, it's tough to beat them just with raw talent. And mm-hmm. he was getting his clock cleaned.
And that was rough, but what I've enjoyed seeing, you know, I do think this is the right move, and I think that's kind of the overall thing, is that he's leaving, giving Kentucky a fresh start. Because, yeah, the system just wasn't working anymore. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't. And he can't have been having that much fun. No. All the hate he's been getting. The fans haven't been having that much fun.
No.
It's just been kind of a letdown every season the last 4 years. And so I think this is good. He can have a fresh start, fresh model, fresh place, administration, everything good. And Kentucky fans, it's time to, get back and enjoy it again and not be so sad all the time.
And I will say this. If for some reason, if he figures it out and he goes and wins a national championship at Arkansas, I'm going to be happy for him.
Yes.
And I'm also going to laugh at the idiots that we have that are on the bandwagon with us that we may not like so much. That are so dismissive of the guy, mm-hmm. and they want to do the hateful stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll be happy for him and Ellen, not so much for Arkansas, but I'll be happy for him.
Sure, sure, absolutely. You know, you got to remember he did so much for this state, and what is amazing is how many NBA players he coached.
Yeah, that's a sore spot. But see, that right there as a Kentucky fan is a sore spot. When you say that kind of irritates me.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Why? Explain.
Because you have that plethora of talent, and in the past 5-6 years, you've shown nothing for it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you sort of hype the fact that's what you're doing, it would be the...
Well, you weren't mad about it years ago. The first 6-8 years.
No, because it's a byproduct. So it's like this. If I'm on the board of directors, which I consider myself to be on the board of directors for the University of Kentucky Big Blue Nation.
Oh, okay.
Like you may be. I love to hear the good. Oh, we were so profitable in 2012, record profits. And guess what? We were so profitable, we got to give away millions of dollars to charity mm-hmm. as a byproduct.
Sure.
That makes me happy. Yeah. Hey, we're doing well and we're doing good. Now we're losing money. The company is in record default and you're coming to the board of directors and you're telling me, but we gave away millions in charity. We didn't hire you to give away millions in charity. We gave you money so we could be profitable. So when you start going down that line of, Look at all the NBA players we're producing. What good did it do us? Mm-hmm. I'm happy for those kids. I'm very happy for them. But it didn't do us, the board of directors, the BBN, any damn good. Mm-hmm. That's my point.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah. Well, you wanted me to explain it.
No, I know.
Okay.
And you did.
All right.
Awesome. Okay, well, what else?
What do you mean, what else?
Well, I don't know where to go from there. You got very impassioned, and I was just letting you feel.
Well, I thought you were interrogating me.
No, I wasn't. Not everything's an interrogation. I genuinely was asking why, and you explained it, and I think it makes perfect sense. Yeah. I got a little lost in the board of directors analogy.
It's a great analogy.
I know, but I had to stop and think about that and make sense. But I did.
Why did you have to make it make sense was explained thoroughly?
Okay. You're right.
Don't do this. You're going to piss me off now.
I didn't do it. What have I done?
Patronizing.
I'm not patronizing.
Okay. Why are you doing that?
I didn't do anything. I genuinely didn't do anything.
No, I'm curious as to why it wasn't a great analogy for you. Like, oh, yeah, Lee set it up and knocked it down nicely.
All right.
Instead, don't do that. Don't patronize. Instead, you're attacking me going, oh, I got lost in the analogy. I don't understand why you were lost.
I'm sorry. I can't explain my brain to you. And I don't feel that I'm allowed to right now, honestly.
No, because I may have done a poor job and I'll correct it next time I'm holding court.
It is all good. Anyway, what else is going on?
Tell me about your banana ball experience.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I was talking about on the show this week. So I was off for several days because I recently had my birthday. And so my mom and I went on a little girls trip to a city I've never been before, Savannah, Georgia.
I've been to Savannah. I like it.
I loved it.
It's a river town.
It is a river city.
I always think it's a oceanside place, but not really.
I mean, the ocean's right there, though.
Yeah, it ain't that close.
20-minute Uber.
Well, 20 minutes, but yeah. It's not on the beach.
I know, but I'm saying it's close. In my head, when I was in Savannah proper, I was like, okay, we're going to go to the beach tomorrow. Oh, got to get ready for that drive. And then I'm like, it's a 20-minute ride.
Did you go to the park where they shot Forrest Gump?
Yep. Chippewa Square. Mm-hmm. I went there, did the Old Town Trolley Tour, which I highly recommend. We did that the first morning we were there. It's a 90-minute trolley tour, open-air trolley, and we saw so much. There's so much history in Savannah.
They had to take the bench out of the park
where
Forrest was sitting there with a box of chocolates
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because people were, they were graffiti and degradation all around it. There was all of that.
Yeah.
And then it was backing up. You know, there'd be a
big long line.
People wanting to sit there. And
of course, I mean, it's an iconic film. So why wouldn't you want to be in one of the most iconic scenes in an iconic film? So they still have the area. They show you on the tour exactly where they filmed it. But now the bench and the suitcase can be seen in the visitor center.
Right.
So they're still in town, but you have to go into the visitor center to see them. So I got to see that. Got to see, you know, a couple of haunted places and things like that. And it was awesome, but definitely one of the highlights of the trip beyond going to Tybee Island, beyond the tours, beyond the great food. Loved our bed and breakfast. We stayed in a bed and breakfast historic district.
I've done it once, hated it.
Why?
I don't want to eat with people that I don't know. I don't want to be sitting
at a table. Really? You seem so friendly and easy to talk to.
I don't want to be sitting at a table and somebody asking me, now, what do you do? Piss off is what I do. Get away from me.
He's serious.
Let me have my
Lee
coffee.
Lee is the most unapproachable human you've ever met in your life.
No, that's not true.
No, it is.
People approach me all the time.
I know, but I wish they hadn't as soon as you begin speaking.
I just don't want to deal with people asking questions. I don't mind them saying hi and hello. It's not people that recognize me, if that's what you're trying to infer.
I'm not.
No, I'm talking about a complete stranger.
I know.
That irritates me.
I'm sorry, God built us for community, Lee. That must really be something you're going to deal with when you get to heaven. Why the others, God? Why wasn't I good enough?
No, they're in the club. I don't
what
mind
club?
That. The heaven club.
Oh, they're good people because they're
yes.
in the club.
Yes. It's like when you walk around Nashville and you see somebody wearing a Big Blue Nation outfit.
Yes.
I'll talk to them.
Now, what's a Big Blue Nation outfit?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's, of course, a Dickie. You start with that.
Oh, my gosh. Royal Blue Dickie under... A white sweater.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Just like Uncle Eddie would have done.
Checkered pants.
Or Cousin Eddie.
Yeah. What'd you say, Uncle Eddie?
I said Uncle Eddie, and I don't know why. He's Cousin Eddie. I loved it. The bed and breakfast was fantastic.
Did you talk to strangers?
Oh, all the time. Loved it. But not all, I was usually the one starting the conversation. Because I'm like, well, why not?
Yeah, this, I don't want that.
Well, trust me, I'll never approach you.
Thank you.
Anyway, so it was wonderful. But I went to a Savannah Bananas game.
Yes. Heard all about it. Not from you, but from what I've seen and read. It's fantastic. It's the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
Yes.
Sold out most of the time.
The entire season is sold out before the season begins.
It's nuts.
You can get resale tickets for 4x face value. I was lucky enough to get them because my sweet little cousin, Lena, she's 25 years old and a young professional. Her longtime boyfriend plays for the Savannah Bananas. So if you are lucky enough to get to go to one of these amazingly entertaining games, cheer for number 13, Mr. Dalton Malden. He got us tickets and we got to go, my mom and I. It was a blast. Entertainment from before the game starts, hours before the game starts. There's entertainment for fans outside, inside. Your ticket includes free, unlimited hot dogs, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, chicken sandwiches, chips, and drinks.
You just go up to the concession stand and they hand you something?
Yes.
You don't have to pay for it?
Yes. And then they have other foods you can buy.
It's an all-exclusive resort.
All-inclusive.
What'd I say?
All-exclusive.
Oh, I'm in-inclusive. I'm sorry.
You're thinking of the Heaven Club. anyway, so it was so fun. And yes, they actually play baseball. Well, they call it banana ball because they have changed the rules to make it more entertaining for fans. There's no walks. Instead, they're called sprints. There is, if a fan catches a foul ball, it's an out. Multiple other things that I can't remember, but they hand out a sheet when you get there that explains these new rules.
Did they win the game?
Yes. Yes, they did.
And they play these patsies.
Right. I mean, it's like you said, it's the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, so they're playing the Washington, Washington Generals. Yeah, is the team that, so they're in on the act.
They played the Party Animals, was this team.
The Party Animals.
And so like in the
case, they don't even have a city.
In the case of my cousin's boyfriend, he is a former college baseball player. Yeah. And so they're all former players or players that had an injury or players that just really enjoy it. And my according to my cousin, you still can... I don't know. I don't know what the terminology is. Still get to the big leagues or whatever from there.
And move to the bigs.
Yeah, so.
But it's not a sanctioned Major League Baseball event.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the guys on the Party Animals, they're hoping to be moved up to the Savannah Bananas?
I don't know, actually. I did a lot of reading ahead of the game and then even during the game and then after the game, trying to understand this concept. Yeah, about the league, and they're expanding the league.
It seems like I saw the Savannah Bananas, though. They did a road game someplace.
At the Houston Astros Stadium, and it was sold out.
Yes.
Ahead of the Astros.
So they're legitimately becoming the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes, they are.
Of baseball to where, I mean, back in the heyday, like in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, the Harlem Globetrotters would sell out.
Oh, yeah.
Meadowlark Lemon.
Yes, Meadowlark Lemon.
Curly Neal. All those guys.
Yeah, so anyway, they did that, and they have pictures of that all over the stadium and things like that. And, yeah, so they played out, and all the players were saying it was, like, the most amazing night of their lives because they're playing in front of a sold-out MLB crowd. Yes, it was for the Astros, but a lot of people were also there to see the Savannah Bananas because they're so fun. It was awesome.
So it was in front of the Astros.
Yes, they played ahead of the game.
I got you.
Yeah. As far as my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're a banana fanatic, they had ice cream. I got myself a banana split.
What do these guys get paid?
I don't know. And I, of course, Googled that, and I could have just asked my cousin, but it felt indecent, so I didn't. But then I tried to Google it, and I found conflicting answers.
Because minor league players in the majors make nothing.
I know. But because this isn't exactly that.
A signing bonus. If you're an actual talent that they do believe you're going to make it to the majors, when you get drafted highly, you'll get a signing bonus, which can be good money, not great money, and they'll let you learn the game the big league way in the minors.
Yeah.
But you're playing against guys that are making $15,000 a year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that on like a lower level, let's say ice hockey or baseball or basketball. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys will have second jobs.
Or TV.
Or lower TV, yes. Yeah. Second, third jobs.
I've always had two or three jobs.
Have you?
Yeah.
What are they?
Well, stand-up comedy was one. I used to do radio as well. So I always had two or three jobs. Because you never know when you're going to lose one of them.
Yeah, true. In your case, especially.
Yeah.
I've only ever had one job at a time my whole life. I'm sure I'm very blessed to do that, but it's also because I don't think I can handle it. I'm not a person, like, I've done freelance gigs here and there, but as far as actual jobs at the same time, I mentally, I don't think I could handle it. I mean, I'd do it if I absolutely had to. Like, you know, some bills got to be paid. I would do it if I had to, but I've never had to. Thank you, Lord. But I think it would just stress me out.
Yeah. You get used to it.
Sure. So, Savannah Bananas, 10 out of 10. Number 13, Dalton Malden, Cheer On My Boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They had these, they have cheerleaders, but it's like, or they have a dance team. They're called the Banana Splits. And it's like little girls, I bet, ages 6 to 12. And they do these whole routines and matching little outfits. They are adorable. Then they have the Nanas, which are senior women. And it is amazing. They come out there and do these little dance routines. Amazing. Then they have the Man Nanas.
Okay.
And it's a group of proudly, portly gentlemen that are like, and it says the Dad Bod Cheerleading Squad. It is men who are proud of their beer bellies and their man boobs. And they come out there and they had live auditions right there on the field. They had pulled random people out of the stands that could come out there and show their moves. A guy took his shirt off and did what I think he thought was the worm. But it really was just him lifting himself up and slamming to the ground. But the passion was there, and it was so entertaining.
Like Bert Kreischer.
Like a team, a dad bod cheerleading squad made up of Bert Kreischer. Yeah, it was amazing.
Do they not have anything for the dads that are at the game?
What do you mean?
That may have brought their kids, and they got a wife that's a piece of work. And who nags all day? Don't they have entertainment for him?
They have a very pretty girl dressed in a bell costume, and her name is Princess Potassia, like potassium from a banana. Do you get it?
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah. But she was pretty great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well.
Lee, I don't think the Savannah Bananas are really geared toward this fictional man you've created.
Every other sports team is.
Okay, man.
Just saying.
Well, if you see Lee Cruz at a bed and breakfast near you, offer him a bite of your banana split and ask him where he's from and what he does.
You're not going to see me at a bed and breakfast.
I loved it. It was so fun. The food was fantastic. Yeah. I adored the historic parts of Savannah. So,
like, I was on a golf trip a couple of weeks ago, and I stayed in a hotel, but my buddies stayed at an Airbnb.
Why did you stay in a hotel?
I didn't want to be around them. And
you're still friends?
Yeah.
I could never go on a girls' trip and be like, fine, you all stay there. I'll be in a hotel.
No, I love those guys.
I'd never hear the end of it. They'd be like, something's wrong.
No, there's nothing
and
wrong.
I'd be like, there's something wrong if one of my friends didn't want to stay in the group.
I don't want to be around their bathroom habits. I don't want to,
No, I see what the truth is.
You don't
want them to be aware of your habits.
No, I don't have any habits.
Oh, you seem like a real bathroom prude.
Yeah,
Coming from one.
I want it to be clean. I want fresh air.
What was it, a one-bedroom Airbnb there?
They had a cabin that had maybe two bathrooms, so you're sharing a bathroom with a dude.
How many guys is it?
There was like six or seven or eight.
Oh, no.
I don't want to be a part of that.
Mm-mm, you need a minimum of four bathrooms.
I want my
scenario.
Own bathroom.
Okay.
I want my own bed. I want
They were
solid.
Sharing beds?
One bed.
Oh, all my gosh. One bed, two
they
bathrooms.
They all slept together.
Wow.
It was, you know, head here, kingdom. Feet there, head here, feet here.
Oh,
know?
My gosh.
Just like in
I know
Willy Wonka.
Yeah, none of us can.
Charlie Buckets.
We all have to make that reference, even though we all envision it when
That's
it happens.
That's how they slept.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, so anyway.
And then the bed, I've stayed at a bed and breakfast. Yeah. I think it was in North Carolina a long time ago. And I think there may have been a community bathroom.
Whoa, no.
And it was a nice bed and breakfast, by the way. It was a very big old house, but on the floor I was on, there was only one bathroom.
Oh, absolutely
You'd
not.
Have to knock and do it. I don't want that.
Okay, you stayed at a low-budget bed and breakfast.
Wasn't that low?
I'm sorry. I would not share a bathroom. The last time I had to share a bathroom was when I had to live in the dorms my freshman year of college, and I was devastated. Coming from a girl who grew up with her own bathroom.
Yeah.
I grew up, I was devastated.
You had
to
share a bathroom with your mother, did you not?
Yeah, that's different.
No, it's not. I don't want to share a bathroom with your mother. I don't want to share it with my father.
I don't think that'll hurt her feelings. Lee, okay. No, I get that. For me and my mom, like, I don't know, it's different. There are certain people I don't mind sharing a bathroom with.
A bathroom is a sacred place for
okay.
me.
Okay, for you.
Yes.
Okay.
I not only do the obvious, I also
Is the obvious?
Well, you know, I transfer. I'm in a shipping department. God. I got a ship here and a ship there.
Where's the ship there?
Well, you just ship everywhere. And I'm shipping.
I ship my pants.
I'm shipping all day.
Only the greatest Kmart commercial of all time. Kmart. I ship the bed. I'm saying ship.
Oh, you're going to love it. I got a brilliant idea. It came to me at lunch today.
Oh, my gosh. What is it?
How's this? I got to pitch it to the Snickers people. Okay. Remember the great Snickers ad where it was Betty White?
You're just not yourself.
Or whoever.
You're not yourself when you're hungry.
You know, yes.
Yeah. All yeah.
All right. Picture this.
All right. I'm shutting my eyes for those of you just listening.
Andy Reid. Standing there.
The Chiefs coach, Kansas City Chiefs coach.
Travis Kelce is in his face barking at him.
It's like it really happened. I can envision it so clearly.
That's why it's going to be funny. Okay. And he's yelling at him, I don't know why you did that. That was a stupid decision. You're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. And Andy Reid says, Taylor, you're just not yourself. And hands over a Snickers. And it's actually Taylor Swift. It's a home run.
No.
What Lee. Do you mean, no?
It's a touchdown.
Okay, it's a touchdown. See? Fine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Let me do the pitch, because you blew it right there.
How did I blow it?
It's a home run.
That's advertising talk.
Okay, well, if you heard this, please don't go pitch this to Snickers, because Lee was so stupid to have shared this actually genius idea.
Yeah.
Now, what the ad would be for Snickers?
Well, yes.
Sure.
We're just revitalizing their old campaign, but we're using the biggest names.
The biggest names.
And I think it'd be funny. Taylor goes, I'm sorry, coach.
I'm sorry. I'm new to football.
Yeah.
I love it.
Anyway, what was I telling you?
Who knows? Whoever knows. I mean, I'm all ears.
I had a little...
Oh, we were talking about the bathrooms. You ship in, ship out, back.
Oh, yeah, when I'm in there. Let me.
Why did I not? Why did I bring this back here?
Before I get to that, though, I had a little cute waitress, bartender, whatever she may be.
Was she behind the bar?
Yes.
Then she's a bartender.
Yeah.
Get it, girl.
It didn't seem like it was a real gig for me.
Oh.
I don't know. But anyway.
Because you were there at lunch. Maybe it was a server working the bar. And she's
adorable. She's just a cutie pie.
Hi, little cutie.
But her ears were massive. They stuck out like Dumbo from the Seven Dwarves. And I thought, there's got to be something you can do. You can wear a hat, a headband, pin those back. Bless her heart. It felt like she was almost artificially pushing them out.
Like they were so
satellite far. Dishes.
Like, could you see in the air?
Yeah.
Like they're so far forward that the whole part that's normally in the side of our head is in.
All of
when
her
she
ear.
Cleans her ears with Q-tips, even though ear doctors tell us not to do this, she comes at this angle.
Right.
She brings them in forward to clean those ear holes.
She could.
Instead of in from the side.
And she's adorable.
All but Disney characters are.
But I kept looking at her going, yeah.
I fault, you know, and I know monetary issues and things like that can get in the way, but when an adult has extremely forward, attention-grabbing, and possibly embarrassment-causing ears, I blame their parents.
What?
You didn't get that kid's ears
pinned
back when they were a kid, knowing the ridicule.
Can you do that?
Yes.
I thought you just did that to Dobermans.
I know of people that had their ears tacked back.
I didn't know that.
Well.
What do you do?
I don't know, Lee. I'm not the doctor.
Gorilla glue?
No, Lee. It's surgery, not home improvement. Anyway. I mean.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the...
So when are you guys going out?
Well...
Shout it out right now. She can hear it.
She can hear it. That's right.
Every person is beautiful exactly as they're made. But just know, Lee will talk
adorable.
About you on your on his...
She was adorable. I just noticed it and thought, wow.
Were you the only... thought, wow. I nearly made a tasteless joke earlier, but I didn't.
About me?
No.
Oh.
About someone else. But then I thought, no, that is mean-spirited. I'm not going to make it. And then you do this. Mm. And then I think, man, I could
have. But this is an anonymous person.
Yeah. Yeah.
No harm, no foul.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, well, what's going on? What have you been doing while I was gone on my vacay?
Well, that's the thing I was going to tell you. So if I'm in the bathroom, I'm also
meditating.
You've
just been in the bathroom since I've been gone.
I like
the staff
the
must love that. Where's
that's
Lee?
That's a good place to be. You've got a mirror that you can talk to yourself.
Are you at home or at work?
Home.
Or are you on the golf trip? You do this in any and all bathrooms.
Mainly at home.
Okay,
yeah,
so at home you're doing what?
I talk to myself, sometimes looking at myself in the mirror. Asking questions like why?
Like, give me an example. When's the last time you did this?
This morning.
This morning. Okay, so take us back to this morning.
Well, I'd rather not share what it was about, but I asked myself.
You brought it up.
I didn't tell you what the content is. I'm just telling you that I talk to myself all the time.
Okay.
Well, there's nobody there.
I should hope so. You've got a party going on downstairs.
Well, I don't mean
upstairs.
I mean,
why, Lee?
The conversation then walks down the stairs and goes into the kitchen and the living room. It never stops.
You talk out loud. I want to set up.
I am this close to a video that I saw the other day of a man who was in traffic, and in front of him was a guy with a puppet, a ventriloquist puppet.
Sure.
And he's apparently working it. And the puppet is yelling at him.
Oh.
And he's kind of like nodding his head like, I get it. And the guy is narrating. He goes, I'm behind this guy in traffic. And he's got a head of a mannequin, a puppet. And he's chewing himself out. And this has been going on the entire
Lee,
time.
You've got to get one of those.
Yeah, I could just
We've got
yell
to,
at
when you're mad at yourself, get the guy.
Yeah, so the fear and anxiety could embody itself.
See, I never, you and I have talked about this before on the show, that you talk aloud to yourself.
All the time.
I do not. Mm. But I have heard in therapy that it is beneficial for people like me, that I suffer from lifelong anxiety, and I do this thing called, a lot of people that have anxiety, it's called ruminating. And it's where you get stuck on a certain thought in your head and you kind of can't let it go. And it could be the most minor thing. Like, let's say you were late to your dentist appointment and you're beating yourself up about it all day. And then you're thinking all day, how can I prevent this from happening again? And, oh, everyone at the dentist's office hates me and da da da. And in reality, it's not that big of a freaking deal. Mm-hmm. My therapist has told me, and what I've seen like on therapy TikToks, if they're saying sometimes like what you have to do is get out of your head. Mm. And if you feel crazy, fine. But if you're by yourself, say it out loud to yourself. And I'll do this sometimes. Like if I'm ruminating on a thought or a concept or something, I'll say out loud, I'll be like, this is ridiculous. Like I'll be in the car and be like, no one at the dentist's office cares that I was 10 minutes late. I apologized. I offered to move to another date. They actually said, it's not a big deal. Come on back. You know, and sometimes saying it out loud makes it real and gets it out of your head. So I kind of see what you're saying. I don't do it that often. Like you're in a constant conversation. For me, I do it as like a break that ruminating stance and move on.
So I've done that where it's not just the continuous running dialogue. If you were eavesdropping, you'd understand the entire thought process. Sometimes I'll just blurt it out
for
no reason.
Oh,
like, well, I love you. Or I'll say, that's the dumbest blankety blank thing you've ever said. And no one's around. And all of that just pops out for no reason. And I don't even know why I said it. Like, I really don't. I've done this. Where I'll be sitting there and go, well, you're my girl. Or, and nobody's around. And I go, why did I just say that? Who am I talking
Same
to?
Same thing. Will you say mean things to yourself that just blurt out?
Oh,
like
yes.
Blurt out. When you blurt out, is it usually you're thinking about saying something to another person, or is it out talking to yourself?
If you want to experience my life,
okay,
all you have to do is watch the scene of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh,
in
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Why
don't we both just say that like we were in a competition to see who could get it out
when
first?
He berates himself in his trailer.
For drinking, right?
Well, because he blew the line and he's, I eat whiskey sours. Oh, you only needed two.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He starts to have another drink and he gets mad. Oh, you drunk. I'll kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
Blankety blank and he's looking at himself in the mirror. Yeah, that's a Thursday night.
That's a
for me. I'm angry at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. But I laughed so hard at that scene because it resonated so well.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Good job, Leo.
Oh, good job.
Because I think Quentin, if I read that somewhere, he let him go. And that was, I mean, Quentin wrote it, set it up, but I think Leo really perfected it.
You know what I saw, and I don't know if it's true, because I never saw the movie Django Unchained,
yeah,
another Leo movie, on TikTok now, where I see everything. I saw a clip, and it was like, unknown fact about Django Unchained is there's a certain scene where he's given a big speech, and he slams his hand down on his desk, and then he's doing a big talking scene, and then blood starts pouring down his hand.
I think I read that, yeah.
He actually cut his hand on a broken glass on the table, not meaning to, and then continued his... Mm-hmm. It was like 90 seconds of dialogue, just him.
Yeah.
And they no cuts, and blood is pouring down his hand, and he incorporates it into the scene toward the very end, like, looks at it like, oh, God. Yeah. And then they said, as soon as they said cut, everyone on set just applauded him.
Yeah.
Because he and that's the one that made it in the film. The one take he did where he actually cut himself, he just plowed through and kept going.
Similar story with Dustin Hoffman and John Voight in Midnight Cowboy.
Really?
The iconic scene, they're walking across the street.
I'm walking here.
Yeah. So a car ran the blockade.
Yes, that's right.
It may have been a taxi. Ran the blockade. That's a closed set.
Drove on to the closed set.
And drove on and almost runs over Dustin Hoffman and John Voight. You can see John Voight's really confused, and Hoffman's still in character, bangs on the hood, I'm walking here, and doesn't break.
I mean, those are the moments that, so good. What a great line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's real. It's true to, you know, that side of the country, but it's like, oh my gosh, amazing. And I love when that cut makes it in. You know, when things like that happen, the natural urge is to say, hey, hang on, let's do this again. You know, but that's something I've learned in TV, and really from you and things, is just keep going, even if something crazy happens, unless it's, you know, mass loss of blood and death.
Right. Even then,
keep going.
Yeah. The show must go on. Well, those moments are fun for me. I incorporate all that.
Yeah. Because sometimes when stuff goes wrong, my inclination is to be like, nah, start over.
No,
but sometimes
that.
You got to let it go.
I hate that.
I know, I'm trying.
I love it because for me, as a comic, I need information to spin or twist the phrase. And the more data you give me, the better chance I've got to make it funny. So now all this new information has arrived vis-a-vis an accident or something that went wrong, these are brand new jokes I got that I can craft, I can make, you know, within seconds, hopefully. But, you know, I can do it that way. That's why I don't ever want to break. Let's keep going. There could be something funny in there.
Yeah.
Now, what you do is you'll watch me search for the joke, and you get irritated if I don't have it right away. And you try to shut me down. And you oftentimes, and Nua can attest, we'll do an introduction to a piece, and we start. And maybe I stumble. Maybe I don't have the right words yet to get us going. But I'll just keep going because I'm kind of laughing at myself, and I'm thinking this is more information for me. And you're like, stop. We got to stop. Like, I don't want to stop. I want to keep going until I find the funny. Because my point to you is, so what, are we going to start over and then get a clean intro? Well, who cares? Who wants to watch clean? If you don't watch a clean intro, well, why don't you, you know, watch the news? You and I are dirty. We're filthy.
We're out here for the filthy intros.
We're here for the very unclean and unkempt.
Sure.
We're humans. We make mistakes, you and I. Especially you. God, you're awful.
Okay. All right. Any other notes or performance things you want to correct me on today? That's three so far.
Well.
So anything else? Any other complaints, criticisms?
Hygiene.
God knows
help.
I have none for you. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, to your point where, and Lee's talking about, like, if we're on location and shooting an intro for a piece that you're going to see later on the show, sometimes I will let you go, but a lot of times I'm reacting to the sadness and deep despair I see behind the camera from the camera operator that's thinking, Lee is dragging this what should be 30-second intro because he wasn't prepared and doesn't have good jokes ready and is floundering into a 4-minute intro that I will have to cut down to 30 seconds.
Yes, that's his job.
Yeah.
It's called editing.
What's your job?
To find the funny. His job is to edit it.
When were you going to find it?
Well, I don't know. I'd like to have a shot.
Well, we've given you a shot, but after 4 minutes, we're all like God in heaven.
4 minutes?
Lee, I've seen you do a 4-minute intro before and 350 of it not usable.
That's fine.
And then you get mad at me when I'm like, can we start over? You're like, why? This is gold.
It could be.
Noah's here. Noah, speak to this. Yes.
There was one time we did a 30-minute intro. I remember very specifically. And
that's because you kept fighting me.
Was that
on
the bowling thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll never forget that day. And I think Lee yelled at me for saying, let's start over. And I was like, was this working for you? Was this working for anyone?
It was.
It didn't. 30. You think we have a 30-minute intro?
No, we have good stuff of me fighting you and Noah Day. Because there were several things in there that were funny, but you guys are so one-track minded, you couldn't get off the bowling thing. And it's like, let's just play and have fun here and enjoy ourselves. You two are like when you go to Disney World, and instead of just meandering and enjoying yourself, no, we've got to ride to Space Mountain at 8 o'clock.
Okay. So that's 4 performance notes you've given me today. I'm learning so much today. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, let's implement it.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep going. I don't want to end this podcast until you're ready. So keep going.
What else do you want to learn?
Man, I don't know. You want to know the joke I nearly said earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to say it. I should have said it. It's not going to hit now. It's not going
to
hit.
That doesn't matter to me.
I know it doesn't matter to you. No, this is, I'm so mad I didn't say it.
What was it?
You said the game, back to the John Calipari talk, now former UK head coach, current Arkansas Razorbacks head coach.
Yeah.
I feel like I've lost you as you tap that cold can on each of your fingertips.
Yes. That felt good.
Did it? Cool. You said, well, if you get, you know, the game changed. You know, it worked for several years, and then it changed. And, you know, now all of a sudden with COVID rules and everything like that, you said, now you got guys with receding hairlines out there hitting threes. And I was like, man, I'm speaking of Bill Clinton.
See, that was good.
I know, but I didn't say it. Yeah. We just talked about him in Arkansas, and it really would have hit earlier, but then I'm...
Yeah. Bill, let's say you were an intern at the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm, and this is not a moral judgment. I'm sure you would have stood fast and said, no, thank you, sir.
That's right.
But I'm just curious. Would that have... Is it the power? What is it? Because he's sort of doughy. He doesn't look like the most handsome man. Like, Barack Obama's a good-looking guy. Of course, yeah. The problem with Barack Obama, he's got integrity.
And that's the worst thing about that man. Yeah. My God.
But Clinton...
Oh, Michelle, yeah, I love right. her. That's only I mean. Her.
Now, this is not a political judgment. I'm just
not
saying, as a family man, he seems like...
He seems
he's
wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yes.
But what the heck? Would that somewhat be enticing?
Here's what I think would be enticing. Speaking for myself, but also a lot of women, sometimes it's not like, at least for me, it wouldn't be the power I'm attracted to. It's that such a powerful man is attracted to me.
Got it.
That is, I think, what the issue is. It's not so much, I want to be with him. He's so powerful. Yeah. It's if he gave me attention.
Gotcha.
It would be like the most powerful man in America has taken a shine to little old me. That would be hard to turn down for a lot of women.
There is not a night.
You'd have to stare in the mirror and say, no, now quit it. He's doughy. And he's from Arkansas. Gross.
There's not a night I don't dream of banging Hillary.
the power. That woman chose me? Wow. Yeah, no, would it be the same to you? Like,
no.
A really powerful, like, I don't even know. I guess it doesn't.
Yeah, to me, that would be resignation.
What?
Well, okay, let's say there is.
I'm not saying we're not talking about Bill Clinton anymore.
No, I know. We're talking about.
Took a shine to you.
Yeah, that would be resignation. I've given up on heterosexuality.
He's turned me.
No, I'm talking about if.
Is that a cigar?
If it was a Hillary type.
A very powerful,
political
woman.
And we're not talking someone super hot, right? We're not talking.
The two can coexist.
They could, but it's a different feeling of Gal Gadot. I'm her PA, and she's like, I need you tonight. Well, you know, I'm saluting the flag. Yes, I'm there.
And I'm going to find the flag.
Storming the Israeli beach.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, that's different. But if, yeah, I think that... I would never do it, but I'm thinking that would be resignation of I'm not my own man anymore. I'll just be a kept individual. I'm surrendering all my autonomy and at her beck and call, which is marriage for the most part, if I think about it.
Okay, so in this scenario, she's a married woman yet is trying to get with you.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, to be
if
the
she,
exact opposite of the.
Oh, if, oh, she's so she's just using me
yes.
for my body.
Yes.
Well,
sign me up. Yeah, if it's the same, you know, yeah. like the Lewinsky Clinton thing, they weren't together. They were just, you know.
Yeah.
Cuckoo, ca-choo in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
So same thing, but I'm trying to think what a similar. Let's say she's too old for you now, but let's say I was going to say like, I'm trying to think there's just no real, you know, there's no female president in America. So I'm trying to think who would be a political female. I just don't feel like any I'm going to say here that are very high in American politics. Like I'm not going to say Elizabeth Warren and he'll be like, yes,
yeah.
or AOC or.
AOC is cute.
She's very cute. Or like some of these are polarizing.
But that ain't gonna
let's
work.
Just take it politics. AOC or Lauren Boebert, young, objectively attractive politician.
Yeah. Well, AOC's
Nancy
out.
Pelosi.
Oh yeah.
Kamala Harris.
She is somewhat.
She's
attractive.
A very attractive.
I
woman.
Don't think I could stand 2 minutes of that conversation.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
I know that's the thing.
I have got to leave. If you laugh one more time.
Sorry. That was funny. Okay, well, let's say it's a female celebrity.
Yeah.
I feel like we're having a hard time finding an equal, and that's a problem, man and woman politician on the
yes.
same level. Let's just say a female celebrity. Like, who's the top female actress? Let's say Jennifer Aniston is married.
I was going to say Margot Robbie.
Let's say, okay, Margot Robbie is married.
Yes.
And then she comes, meets you in yes. a little meet cute in an Airbnb
yes.
on your golf trip, and she says, I need it now.
We're not have to share a bathroom, are we?
As long as there are two separate bathrooms at this resort.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Margot Robbie, I mean, what do you want me to do?
Lee, I don't know.
I gotta say yes, don't I?
You're saying this to yourself in the mirror, aren't you?
Yes.
Margot Robbie, what?
How do I want? It's like, and who knows by the time this podcast comes out. This is what I've been telling my buddies. It's like Danny Hurley.
Yeah.
How do I say no to that? Oh, you got such good things over here.
Are we still talking about a sex thing here?
Yes.
I would do it.
How do you say no to it?
How do you say no? To Danny Hurley, if he's offered the UK job.
Yes,
guys, this is called a callback and a full circle podcast. Just like that, we're back to the beginning about the coaching search for UK. You see, that's how the pros do it.
But if she's happily married, why?
Oh, and now we're back.
Why is she coming over here anyway? That's the kind of questions I'm going to. Could you fill out this form, Marco?
And that's what I don't think Monica really asked Bill. Bill.
Yeah.
Why are you coming after me?
You want to get to, by the way, if you have a topic or a question you'd like Haley and I to address, it's ideas@leeandhaley.com.
Yes.
Here's one. Should Lee get a dog?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been talking about this on our show, The Lee and Haley Show, over the last week and a half or so. And I've seen more interest from you in possibly getting a dog.
Yeah, I'm actually considering
it. Are you really?
Yeah, but another big issue that I didn't mention on the show is the bathroom issue. This poor dog's never going to get any sleep. I got to get up 4 or 5 times. I'm going to wake that guy up.
Lee, he's going to wake you up a lot, too.
Well, he's got an enlarged prostate as well?
Oh, no. Okay, so that's what's
I don't have
back.
An enlarged prostate, by the way.
Okay, no.
Just because it bulges out a bit.
Ew, gross. You know, prostate never stops growing.
That's true. Every man alive will get prostate cancer. The facts are, you usually...
Mercifully, you will have died before.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Yeah.
Because prostates, they just continue to grow and they become cancerous at some point. But your prostate, whoever you are listening to this podcast, may not become cancerous until you're 107. Thankfully, you're 5 minutes away from death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As you're crashing your car laughing at this podcast.
Yes.
So I don't know if I'm going to get a dog or not.
You've had your eye on one from the Humane Society.
His name was Crew.
What happened to him?
Well.
His name was Crew. He tried to share a bathroom.
He interned with Clinton. And Bridget asked, best sandwich toppings?
Ooh. Mm. Okay.
You know where I'm going to start with, because I had a sandwich.
Give me your favorite sandwich.
I'm going to say mayonnaise right away is pretty much a utilitarian device that makes and improves every sandwich. Name a sandwich that mayonnaise doesn't enhance.
Monte Cristo.
Monte Cristo.
That's more of a dessert sandwich. That's like the ham in the dough with the powdered sugar you dip in raspberry. No, mayonnaise, I mean, even a grilled cheese. Mayonnaise is the secret ingredient on grilled cheese. You put it on the bread.
I could do that, though.
You put it on the bread before you grill it. So the mayonnaise soaks. Yeah. Again, I just saw Ina Garten make a grilled cheese on TikTok, and she put butter on one.
Who is this guy?
Ina Garten. She's married to...
Ina Garavita.
Ina Garavita. No, she's a famous chef, Lee, and she made a delicious.
Yeah,
all she's the Barefoot Contessa.
Oh, I know Julia Childs.
Well, no, you don't, because it's just Julia Child.
What do you mean?
It's just Child singular.
Julia Childs.
No, it's just Child. Yes.
I think you're wrong. I think it's Julia Childs.
Cookbook is great.
It's a possessive, sure.
The Art of French Cooking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Portrayed by Meryl Streep in the movie with Amy Adams.
Julie and Julia.
Yeah, something like that. Julia Eats Julia.
No.
That's a different
film, yeah.
Anyway, I go mayonnaise. What do you say? Mustard. I know you love mustard.
I love mustard. I love a whole grain mustard. Cheese.
What about?
I gotta have cheese.
Is that the mustard with the seeds in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your favorite sandwich? If you're gonna have, let's say, what's your favorite kind of cold cut sandwich?
Probably a ham.
Okay. What all's on it? What kind of bread? Take me to the whole. I could put, lift us up.
White bread.
White bread.
Tomato. Cheese.
Ham.
Well, of course.
Ham, cheese, tomato.
We started with ham.
Yeah, I know, but then you didn't even say bread. So what are you, just holding a stack of ham?
I said white bread.
Okay.
Then I'd probably put the pickles and mayonnaise, maybe some mustard.
Mm-hmm. No lettuce.
No.
You don't like lettuce.
Lettuce. It gets
Here
in
we
the
go.
Way.
Here we go. And if I'm having a great day, it's coming from Jersey Mike's. White bread, turkey, ham, bacon, provolone, banana peppers, dill pickles, vinegar. Salt, pepper, oregano, a little bit of mayonnaise, yellow mustard. Boom. Best sandwich on the planet. Yeah. I want to hear anything else. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jersey Mike's. I appreciate the sponsorship that I know you're sending this way. Free sandwiches for life? Perfect. I plan on getting prostate cancer.
Here's an interesting question. If you could remove one color in the whole world, what color would that be and why?
What?
See, initially, I thought brown.
This table would be gone.
Well, it would be white.
Mm-hmm.
Or blue or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like every color now is integral.
Yeah, and that's what I started thinking. I mean, I like, if you've been out to the desert's beautiful, and there's a lot of brown there.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the green when I'm in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And the blues. I don't know.
I'd say silver.
Silver.
I don't really care for the color silver.
It's great at Christmas.
Yeah. That's true. See, any color, then when you tell me where it is, but then we wouldn't have any silver cars, which silver is such a popular car color.
Yeah.
Silver jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Silver hair.
Looks great.
I don't have silver hair.
What do you have?
You know, when I was a kid, I thought it was the Silver War.
Silver War.
I did.
I think you're not alone in that. And I thought that.
I wonder what the gold war is.
Oh my gosh.
If you had a silver war, you had to have a gold war.
No, Lee, the gold war was between the USSR and America. It was right after World War II. Yeah. That was the gold war. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think a lot of kids, yeah. What's another popular thing that I got wrong a lot was, the Christmas, later on we'll conspire as we drink. I thought it was, and I thought quite literal, and it made sense. Later on we'll perspire as we dream. But like, we're in front of a fire. We're going to be sweating. And yeah, as a kid, hot. I thought, what a gross lyric. But I mean, it makes sense.
Sure.
Yikes.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy. Bow, bow, bow.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay. I really want a sandwich right now.
Well, one of the best memes of Miss Heard statements was from a gentleman who sat in his car, and a lady asked, and you may have seen this one.
I don't know that I have, but I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
What's the word that you read wrong and you're so embarrassed by it? And the word pops up and he says, man's laughter. And he's like, why is he getting 5 to 10 years for laughing? It's man's slaughter.
Yeah. And on that note, we will end this week's podcast.
Okie dokie.
Who's it brought to you by, Lee?
It's brought to you by Shun Li Chinese cuisine. It is the absolute best in town. This city needed that, by the way. I was having that discussion with someone the other day asking me, is that Shun Li place good? I said, it's absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
And I can't remember the last time this town had an elegant Chinese restaurant, yes. And that's what Shun Li is.
Best wonton soup you'll ever have. Trust me, put a little soy sauce in there.
Everything is good. They got happy hour at the bar seating. It's a beautiful place. 111 Woodland Avenue, right there off Main Street. You can call for reservations, 859-309-0305. Shun Li. Go by and say hello to our friends.
Yes, tell them Lee and Haley sent you, and enjoy a delicious meal, cocktails, whatever you want. Write in, as Lee said, any comments, questions, topic areas you want to hear Lee and I talk endlessly about to ideas@leeandhaley.com. Follow us on social media. Just search Lee and Haley. And then please subscribe, rate, review this podcast. And if you're watching on the Kentucky Sports Radio YouTube channel amidst all the other videos about Coach Cal's departure from Kentucky, we appreciate you watching and continue to, please.
We'll see you next time, guys.
And you'll hear us next time.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
This has been the Lee and Haley Overtime Podcast. Good night and good luck.